And here we are once again coming to you live because Jesus always makes the way. This is Pastor Mike and I am online and I am live and this is your day. Finally, you get a day. You can have the whole day of Pastor Mike online if you want to. You can tie up and hog up. Where's my hogwash? Here it is right here. My bag of hogwash. Did I ever show you what was in here? There's soap in here. It looks like Spam. That's what it does. It looks like Spam. And I get all kinds of goodies sent in the mail. Somebody sent, I guess people think I need to take a bath because I got homemade soap. And this is lemon eucalyptus. Ladies, you'd love to have. This is unscented basic bar. And where is all the other stuff I got? I don't remember where it is. Anyway, people must think I really smell or something like that, so they send me all kinds of cleaning products. Anyway, today, if you want to hog the whole show, be my guest. All right, I just got done recording about 2 hours today of the Watchmen video broadcast for next week. And I'm kind of thinking about a title to call it. And I think I will probably call it Sacred Name Witchcraft, is what I think I will call it. That will not make some people happy that I'm doing that. The fact that I'm dealing with it is not going to make some people happy. The fact that I am against sacred name-ism is going to... These people who espouse this doctrine, I don't know if you've noticed this or not, they're not very nice people. They're not nice about it. When they start trying to convince you that you have to say Yahushua or Yahshua or Yeshua or Yehishua or all of these variants that they come up with, when they start telling you, you have to do this, and then if you question that, they get pretty ignorant. I've had them be very, very belligerent with me. And so I have been a lot in prayer this week over this particular video. And when you see the illustration, I use the army men, by the way, for illustrative purposes only. And when you see the illustration that I lay out with these guys, you'll kind of understand where I'm getting at. The devil, and let's just bring it down to what they call brass tacks. I don't really know what that means, but anyway, let's just get down to the brass tacks. The devil hates the King James Bible. He absolutely despises that book. He hates the words that are in that book because if you remember, the Bible teaches us that Jesus, the Bible teaches us that Jesus drove out devils and cast out devils with his words. And he used words, his words, to cast them out. And I just got this thing in my mind. I think the devil hates the word of God. Anytime you read it, study it, meditate on it, act upon it, think upon it, the devil cannot handle that. He can't handle that kind of abuse is what he can't handle. And the ultimate conspiracy behind sacred name-ism, which you have to understand, didn't come around, never even showed up. Nobody that I could see beyond, let's say, the 1930s, this never dawned on them. And then you see an explosion of it here in the 21st century. But the ultimate goal behind this is to get people away from the King James Bible, even though they have a King James Bible restored sacred name version. It is still trying to remove, and there's a reason why they've changed all the words in the King James Bible, because it removes the deity of Christ. And I'm going to show that. It's not coming, that part of it is not revealed this week. It's going to have to wait till next week. I spent 2 hours today just getting through what I did. And but I have been in a lot of prayer about this presentation itself, trying to be meticulous about the work and be meticulous about the research to make sure that what I said was accurate. Because those people who espouse this doctrine, and I name some names in this video, and some of the names that I mentioned, these people are not going to be happy with me that I mentioned their name. But I used what they said that came out of their mouth or that was on their website or whatever. This is what I used. And then I just compared it with scripture. And so they're not going to be happy about it. They're going to get pretty mean about it, I suspect. And I just asked God, God, if you're going to put me out there, I don't mind being on the front line. I'm just going to need a big shield here. And I believe in the shield of faith of the Word of God. And that's what it all boils down to. You're being attacked. Your belief is being attacked. Everybody that I have been associated with in this ministry, those of you who are watching right now, those of you who are listening, those of you who write me emails and send me nice bars of soap in the mail, you and I have weaknesses. We are weak. We can't defend ourselves. My mind and my brain, my emotions do practically what everybody else's does. It works against my spirit. It works against my faith. And the devil knows that he can attack me in my weaknesses or in my weakest point, in my weak spot. And when he does, I need something to defend that. I need something to guard off and shield myself against those fiery darts. And the only thing that I have, I don't have my intellect. I don't have my knowledge or my skills. I don't have ninja-like reflexes. The only thing that I have is the absolute incorruptible Word of God. And if I can be convinced, if Mike Hoggard can be convinced that the Bible is corrupted and it's been, the evil men have altered the contents of the Word of God, if I can be convinced of that, then I have nothing to defend with against the attacks at these people and what they represent. There is an email coming in, and today, basically, I've got some news articles to read if we want to. I'm just going to kind of leave this program today up to you. And I was just kind of praying, you know, before the show, God, you know, lead me in a certain direction. And there is an email coming in that I usually get a little glimpse of the emails as they come in on the bottom of the screen. And it's asking about a particular person, and I'm not going to shy away from the email. I'm going to read it, but before I read this email, I want to kind of share my heart with you. Why? And you could just put this down if you want to give a topic to today. Why I Am Not a Jew, by Mike Hoggard. Number one, I was born a poor white child in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. The name Hoggard does not lend itself to being a Jew, all right? The name Hoggard actually is related to the word shepherd. We were herders of hogs, okay? Now, I know in England it's not Hoggard, it's Hogard. It just sounds more sophisticated. It sounds like we come from royalty. Oh, this is Pastor Hogard. I like it. But here in America, I'm just Hoggard. And so my ancestors, they kept swine is what they did. No Jew in their right mind would ever do this. I am a Caucasian Anglo-Saxon, of Anglo-Saxon origin, although there is a German on my mom's side. My mom's maiden name was Korzein. That's German. And I'm not a Jew. I'm a Gentile. I was born a Gentile. I will remain a Gentile until the day I die. I do not try to model my life, my habits, my holidays, my diet, my way of speaking, my dress. I do not try to model the Jew. I don't say Mazel Tov. I don't even know what that means. I don't talk about, I didn't have a bar mitzvah. I don't, those words that I see that people floating around and using, like on Facebook or on their blogs and things like that, all those Hebrew words, I don't know what they mean. I've never studied Hebrew, although I think I'd like to. I think it would be a nice language to study. But I don't do that. I don't sit around with a yarmulke on my head. I don't play with a dreidel at Hanukkah. I don't do any of that stuff. Why don't I do that? Why do I not? Why am I not acting like a Jew? Why am I not trying to be like Jews? Because that's part of this whole sacred name thing. Is that everybody? Oh, you gotta understand Christ. The only way to understand Christ is from the Hebrew mindset. That if that's said one time, that's said probably 1,000 times. That these people have discovered this great truth now. That all these white Christians have been wrong all this time because they misunderstand the Hebrew roots of Christianity, that it's actually more Hebrew than it is anything else, and that if you're going to be a real, in fact, I'm using the word Christian here, and I've just been listening to these guys and reading their stuff. They don't use that word. To them, that is a nasty, dirty Gentile word, and they won't touch it. You won't hear a lot of the Hebrew roots or sacred name people, well, sacred name, obviously, you won't hear a lot of the Hebrew roots people call him Jesus Christ. They will never, ever, hardly ever say the word Christ, because to them that's a dirty, nasty, stinking Gentile Greek word, and they won't have anything to do with it, and they think it's some pagan, they think it's related to Krishna, is what they think, is what they're telling everybody. And so there is this concept among all of this that you have to go and act like a Jew. You have to speak Hebrew. You have to think Hebrew. You have to think the way they did, because it only when you do that will you get a real idea of who the true Messiah is. My problem with that premise is that the very people who lived their whole lives speaking Hebrew, thinking the way the Jews do, doing the things that Jews do, going to synagogues, having Mishnahs and reading Torahs and Tanakhs and all of this stuff, those are the very people that looked right at Jesus and they got it wrong. They were flat out wrong on who their Messiah was. And so why should I adopt a mindset and an ideology and a philosophy that these people are telling me that I have to adopt, even though the Bible didn't say anything about it? Why do I have to adopt this mindset in order to understand who the true Mashiach was, when the fact is, when the Messiah, Christ, came to those people, they denied him. They hated him. They spit on him. They said, crucify him. I've been reading some of these guys' blogs and their articles about the Jews of Christ's day, and they're revisionists as far as their history is concerned. They've completely rewritten the Bible, because clearly, if you read the King James Bible, you clearly get the idea that it was the leaders of the Jews, the elders, and it was the people who said, "Give us Barabbas, crucify Jesus." They're trying to sneak this idea in, that the hierarchy of Israel at that time were not real Jews. They were not the real Jews, because if they would have been the real Jews, they would have accepted the Messiah. They were trying to tell you that they're Edomites, all right? And that it wasn't the Jewish people that rejected. Oh, they wanted him. Oh, they wanted him so bad. But those Edomite fake Jew leaders are the one that had him crucified. That's revisionist. That is basically changing the Bible to make it adapt to your idea. And your idea is that the Hebrews were these benevolent, holy people that loved God so much. They were looking for the Messiah, and it was taken away from them. That's not true. I want to tell you something. If you want to understand the Jew, go read what God said about them and to them. Now, I always think I have to clarify myself on this. I am not Tex Mars. Tex Mars hates Jews. He hates Israelites. The guy, he's got a problem. I love Israel. I love the Jews. I want God to bless them, and I want God to save them. But they are the enemies of the gospel. And if you go look and see what God said about them, it wasn't nice stuff. And so I'm going to pull some verses up here. I'm going to show you scripturally why I don't say Yeshua. Why I don't say Yeshua HaMashiach. Why I don't say Yahweh or Yahuwah. Why I don't wear a beanie. Why I don't have a dreidel. Why I don't have a whatever they do. I'm going to show you why I am dead set on being a Gentile believer in Jesus Christ. It serves a purpose. It actually serves the purpose of saving the Jews. Did you know that? Because God wanted the Jews. He wanted it to get it in their crawl. That he had decided that since they never really wanted him. I mean, they spent years rejecting him and turning their back on him. And finally, guess God said, I've had it. I'm going to go to the Gentiles. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to save those nasty, adulterous, idol-worshipping, pagan Gentiles. I'm going to save them without ever keeping one law. I'm going to save them. And if you can show me that, I'm told there's like 613 laws in the Old Testament. You know what God says? God says, I'm going to show Israel that the law that I gave them, even though it's good law, they think they've got it in their mind that they're blessed because they keep the law. The problem is they don't. And I'm going to prove to the Israelite, to the Jew, that I'm going to save the Gentile believers who, if there's 613 laws, they haven't kept a single one of them. And I'm going to prove to the Jews that I'm going to save by faith and by grace and not by the works of the law. And I can tell you that at the core of the Hebrew roots and the sacred name cults is the idea that you have to keep the law. And if you're not keeping the law, you're not saved. You're not born again. That's what they say. Now, there are people out there, and I'm going to read some verses here in a little bit. There are people out there who, by choice, they have adopted a Jewish sort of lifestyle, even though they're Gentiles. They have adopted the names Yahushua or Yahshua or Yeshua or Yahshua. Nobody knows how to pronounce it. Although each group says, we know how to pronounce it. They don't know how to pronounce it. They have adopted the lifestyle. They adopted the feast. They do the feast. They do the Passover thing. They do the tabernacles. Although I would really like to see anybody who says they keep the law, I'd like to see them live in a palm branch hut for a week. Because that's what I see in the law. Looks like to me they have to go build a hut out of palm branches or something like that and go live in it for a week. I don't know if they do that. I don't know. But anyway, there are some people who call themselves Christians. They call themselves believers in Christ. And they use the name Yahshua or Yahuwah or any of these other variants. They have repeatedly said that they do not believe that one has to say these names and that one has to invoke these names in order to get a hold of God. They say that you don't have to do this, that they believe that salvation is by grace alone through faith alone. It's just that they have chosen this lifestyle. Now, I'm already seeing two people bring up the same name, okay? And I'll read that name in a little bit. But let me tell you why I'm not saying the guy's wrong. I'm not saying that. Let me tell you why I think it sends the wrong message to an unconverted, unbelieving Jew. I think it sends the wrong message. Here's what God said he was going to do. Now, I'm going to read scripture. All right? And here's my thinking. My thinking is based upon what I see in the Bible. And here is why I am not a Jew. I'm not going to pretend to be a Jew. I'm not going to be what's referred to as messianic. I'm not going to blow a shofar at the beginning of our church services. I've been involved in that. I was at meetings where they did that. I'm not going to do anything of that. I think it sends the wrong message to the unbelieving Jew. Let me read. You might want to write these scriptures down. Deuteronomy 32, 16. And then we'll be in a couple places in the New Testament. Here's what God said. Deuteronomy 32. God said in verse 16, they provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee. And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them because of the provoking of his sons and his daughters. And he said, now this is what God said to Israel. I will hide my face from them, and I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. Now I want to stop right here, and I want you to ponder this for a minute. And I want you to underline this verse in your Bible or write it down somewhere, that God said that the Jews are children who have no faith. And so the next time somebody tries to convince you that in order to be a true follower of Yeshua HaMashiach, that you have to adopt a Jewish mindset and a Hebrew mindset, I'm going to remind you of what God said about them. They have no faith. In fact, God, he clearly tells you in the New Testament that the rock that they followed is the same rock we follow. It's Jesus. The bread that they ate, same bread we eat. It's Jesus. The gospel that we have, same gospel they had. The problem was it wasn't mixed with faith. They had no faith. All they had was works. And so when someone tells you that you must adopt the Jewish or Hebrew mindset, according to the word of God, what they're telling you is you need to go back into strict obedience and don't worry about faith, because that's who they are, children in whom is no faith. And so listen to what God said now. God said, they in verse 21, Deuteronomy 32, they have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. Now God's jealous over them. And so he said, they have provoked me to anger with their vanities. And so now here's what God said. Since they provoked me to jealousy and they have provoked me to anger, here's what I'm going to do to them. He says, I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. Look at what God said. God promised the Jew, I'm going to provoke them to anger, and I'm going to move them to jealousy over a people who are not a nation, who are not a people, and they're foolish. Mike Hoggard, and all you sitting out there listening and watching, who you don't know what Mazel Tov means, you've never had a Passover Seder, or even know what that means, and yet the power of God and the grace of God flows through your life, and you don't even know what laws to keep, much less keep them. And God promised that he would take fools like me and you and save us and put his glory in them. So now let's read Romans chapter 10, verse 19. Paul said, but I say, did not Israel know? First, Moses saith, and he's quoting here, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation will I anger you. Romans 11, 11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. And here's the disservice I think that Gentiles are doing when they go try to coddle to the Jews. It's almost like these people believe, well, if I dress like Jews and talk like Jews and speak like Jews and smell like Jews and eat food like Jews and do everything like Jews, then the Jews will say, oh, bless their heart, I think I want to be a Christian now. That's not going to happen. The Jews are so evil in their mind and so bent in their pride and their arrogance that they are, in fact, I suspect that they're the ones really behind it. When they see Gentiles acting like they do, they're justified in how they're acting and how they believe. I think it sends the signal to the Israelite that you're justified in talking the way you talk and thinking the way you think and having the heart that you do by me acting like you. And so that's why I am not a Jew. I don't act like one. I don't pretend to be one. I don't have that desire in me. Because I've got it in my mind, according to the Bible, that I think God is going to use us Gentiles who have not kept the law, the feast, the dietary. We eat bacon for crying out loud. And the Jews look at us and say, you filthy pigs, you eat bacon. And God says, now you understand. I'm going to take the worst person in your mind, Mr. Israel, and I'm going to put them on my right hand. That'll teach you that you cannot inherit eternal life by the works of the law. It has to be by the hearing of faith. And if there's one thing that God ever said about Israel is that they have ears, they do not hear. This is why they have no faith. Let me read the two emails that I know about that came in. One is from Juanita and one is from Watcher Doyle. Juanita says, God bless Pastor Mike. What is your take on, you probably already figured this out, Bill Schneblin? I find some of his topics interesting. However, he does refer to Jesus as Yeshua. I don't even know if I spell it. Well, that's the thing. Hebrew has no vowels in it. Doesn't have an A, E, I, O, U. A friend of mine, Dr. Chuck Thurston in Ohio, he had studied a lot of Hebrew, and I liked what he said. He said, the interesting thing is, he said, since Hebrew has no vowels, it has no air, it has no breath, it has no spirit in it. And that's what Paul was getting at when he was talking about the letter of the law, the hard consonants, the k and the t and the p and the v. Those sounds are made by the tongue and the clicking noises of the tongue and the lips and the throat. But without vowels, they have no air. They have no breath. They have no spirit in them. And I thought that was a brilliant analogy. I think it's valid. The fact that God wrote the Old Testament without any vowels, showing us that it has no air. It has no breath in it. It has no spirit in it. It has no life in it. And so then it's transferred into Greek, and Greek's loaded with vowels. I mean, they got them all over the place. And God was showing that his breath was breathing through that. Now, do I believe the Hebrew Old Testament's a big joke and it's some satanic? No, absolutely not. Absolutely. That would be crazy to think that. I'm just saying, how did Moses speak? Ask yourself, these people who exalt Moses as being the mouthpiece of God, ask yourself, how did Moses speak? And how did Paul draw attention to that? Moses was a stammerer. He stuttered when he spoke. And so Paul talks about that, and he says, in telling you these things, we're using plainness of speech and not as Moses. This is one of the this was a sign that God was given to the Jew that you can't understand what this is, and I'm giving you a stutterer to tell you what it says. And I think there's a great scenario in this. So they're asking me what I think about Bill Schneblin. Watcher Doyle says, Dear Pastor Mike, Bill Schneblin is part of the Sacred Name crowd. I can prove it. I was wondering if you were thinking of doing a Watchman broadcast on that harlot Catholicism in the future. I have, in doing the study and the research in preparation for the Sacred Name witchcraft video, I have never met Bill Schneblin. I've never talked to Bill Schneblin. We are not buddies. We never played golf together. I am somewhat reasonably sure that he sat in a chair one time that a year later I sat in that same chair. Bill has done stuff for the Club of Prophecy. I have done stuff for the Club of Prophecy, but our paths have never crossed. We've never collaborated. I just know him by name. I read one of his books. I've seen about two of his videos. That's all I know about him. I have looked at his statements and his postings. We are Facebook friends. That's the only connection that I have. I have read what Bill has said about his use of Yeshua and Yahuwah. And he has repeatedly said that he does not believe that these names must be pronounced in order to be part of some sacred name thing. Somebody asked him why he does Passover and all this stuff. And I'll be honest with you, I kind of liked what he said. He said, why should I follow after holidays that we know do not come from the Bible? They come from these false God things. Rather than, if I'm going to pick a holiday to have, why can't I pick Passover, or why can't I pick Feast of Tabernacles or anything like that? And I'm going, yeah, that's not a bad answer. He wears a yarmulke, which I do not agree with, because I think, and I read his explanation on his website, and I don't agree with it. To me, it's almost like explaining away that I believe the scripture tells us that men ought to prophesy with their head uncovered, period. That's it. I don't need anything else. And so this is why I don't wear a beanie. I don't think it's right. I think we should prophesy with our head uncovered. So I would disagree with him on that. He has made repeated statements that I have seen on his website, on his Facebook page, that he believes the King James Bible is the Word of God. It is inerrant. It was translated correctly, and it does not need any alteration. That's all that I know. That's all that I have seen him or heard him say or read what he said. And so, if somebody else knows something that I don't, and if you can point me to his website or his video where he said these words and I can verify it, then that's different. But as far as I know, I have never seen where he has said anything like, why are you saying Jesus? Or I think the King James translators messed up the word Lord, or they messed this up. I've never seen him say that. And so I can't say of Bill Schnebelin that he's that way. I will tell you, however, that I did name some names in this Watchman broadcast, and there's going to be some stuff hitting the fan over what I said. But I made sure that what I was saying was accurate and true. And so if people don't like it, that just stinks, because I only read what I saw. So anyway, that's my thing for today. Now let's get to what you want to talk about today. Paula sent in an email. It was on Tuesday, and I happened to see it, and I thrust it in here today. Hi, Pastor Mike. I'm glad you're back from Dallas. I prayed for you to have a fruitful and safe time there, and I want to hear whatever more you have to say about it, and also about what you saw at Dealey Plaza. Interesting. My question today is about my King James Bible. Actually, I have two of them, which I bought at Barnes & Noble. Their KJV selection is, shall we say, very sparse. The first one I bought there says it is an authorized King James Version. However, I just noticed that it has a copyright 2009 Zondervan and All Rights Reserved. The other one I bought later and is published by Hendrickson Bibles. It does not say authorized version. It does not say copyright, but it does say all rights are reserved and can't be copied without permission from the publisher. It says it was printed in 2010. Both Bibles have the letter from the translators to King James, which I thought meant that they were correct and true versions. I'm just concerned to know whether I have copies of the King James Bible which can be trusted. I know you said that the King James Version could not be copyrighted because the copyright belongs to the royalty of England. If these Bibles are copyrighted, does that mean that they have changed some things in it? Well, let me say this. And you're right. I'm glad you remembered what I had said, because there is, on the authorized Bible in England, in the UK, there is a Royal Letters patent on the Bible. And it is owned by the Crown, and Oxford and what's the other university there? Oxford and whoever else. They administer the copying rights to the authorized Bible in the UK, but they don't. Not even they have permission to change it. I had a guy tell me years ago. He lived in Nottingham, and he said the sodomites tried to sue Cambridge. That's who it was. Cambridge and Oxford to get them to take the word sodomite out of the King James Bible because they said it looked bad. Of course, them in a gay pride parade with their pants pulled down, that doesn't make them look bad, but the word sodomite does. And so they sued to have the Bible altered. And the decision was rendered that since it belongs to the crown, only the crown can change it, which I think is a good thing. Outside of the UK, that royal letter's patent, because we're not under the crown, it does not exist. So when you see a copyright on a printed King James Bible, I would say more than likely that, and I have already found out you can't trust Zondervan, but I would say more than likely that the only thing that they're legally allowed to copyright is the printing format, any of the marginal notes, any of the marginal references, the maps, the study guides at the front, at the back. If they put a concordance in there, if they whatever extra biblical activity they have a right to copyright the printing and the format and the layout and all the other side notes that go along with that publication of the King James Bible. What they don't have the right is to copyright, which means protect the words of the King James Bible. Those belong to, from what I understand, in outside of the UK, they just belong to the public domain. They're just, it's out there. And so Zondervan, nor what you say, Hendrickson Publishing, none of those companies can actually, if we were to print Bibles here, Zondervan would not be able to send a lawyer down here and say, we here at Zondervan, we own the King James Bible, and we are telling you that if you don't stop printing, you're going to owe us royalties in the amount of $4 billion. They can't do that because they don't own the text of the scripture. So I hope that helps you out and hope that answers your question. Kevin writes in, says, Dear Brother Mike, I just finished your video on the forbidden practices. Thank you for the good information. He said, here in PA, we have the Yahwehist. And he said, we call them the Burger King cult. And I was looking at that and I'm going, the Burger King cult? He said, you know, because you have it, Yahweh, have it, Yahweh. I thought it was kind of funny. Anyway, he said, I had one of those people tell me that I wasn't saved because I didn't call upon Yahweh. It would be easy to get in the flesh with these people. It's exactly right. He said, I'd like to see you do something on C.S. Lewis. What do you mean, like on his grave or what? No, I know what he means. I've never read any of his books. I only know that he is popular. Let me just give you the short thing on C.S. Clive Staples Lewis was a former pagan, former atheist. And the story is that J.R.R.R.R.R.R. Tolkien, who is a brandy-drinking Roman Catholic, called Clive Staples over to the house and said, come sit down, we're going to drink some brandy until 1 o'clock in the morning, and I'm going to try to show you that Jesus is the Savior. And so Staples went over there. They sat down and they've got their brandy and they're smoking their pipes. And J.R.R.R.R.R.R. Tolkien is trying to teach Clive Staples Lewis about Jesus by saying, Staples, do you know the story of Osiris? Why, yes, I've studied Osiris extensively. Well, Osiris is sort of a type of the Lord Jesus in that Osiris, he represents the sun, and he's died, and he's risen from the dead. And so he does this, and he talks about Mithras, and he talks about all these gods that died and rose again. And so Clive Staples says, you know what? By Jove, I think I'm a Christian. And that's the extent of it. The born-again nature, where did it come from? It came from mythology. And, you know, the Bible says that we have not used cunningly devised fables when we told you about the power and salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I don't believe that Staples was a Christian. Not the way that I see Christianity from the Bible. Because he wasn't led by the Bible. He was led by Mithras. By the way, if you've read Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit, you know that Gandalf the Grey, you know the elves' name for Gandalf is Mithrandir. And Mithrandir was basically J.R.R.R.R.R. Tolkien's way of telling you that he was actually Mithras, the god that died and rose again. Wayne, how you doing, Wayne? Says, hi, Mike. Thanks for looking out for the wolves out there. You have made me aware of the evil ones' infiltration in the church. I live in Snohomish, Washington, and attend the church regularly. We got a CR program that uses a certain pastor's literature and has a lot of input in our church, and I agree with everything you say about the King James Bible. I've done some research on it myself, and the witnesses came here a lot telling me Jesus is not God. The King James helped me defend my faith. They almost had me fooled. But I love God, and God led me to the book to do my own research, and that led me to you, and I really like to listen to you daily. Keep it up. I love you and appreciate your dedication to God. Wayne, I appreciate you saying that, and I that's all I want to do, is that if they're going to present, if these people in these churches, the sacred namers or the mythology people or whatever, if they're going to promote one thing, I want to be a voice that says, hang on, wait a minute. Why don't you just listen to the scripture for a minute, and then you make the decision whether or not you, which direction you want to go. And I appreciate you saying that, Wayne. Aaron says, thanks for answering my question via Facebook. I sent you two long messages in the past but never got a reply. Don't fret, though. There was no ill will. I realize how much traffic you must get through all your media services. Look forward to the live feed. Well, I appreciate that, Aaron. Yeah, sometimes, I hate this. This is the part now about where we are in this ministry that I don't like. What I don't like is the fact that I cannot spend time and long times with everybody and all their all the emails and everything like that. That's the part that I don't like. I used to really, really, really like answering people's emails, talking to people, listening to what they had to say, and so on. And I don't get that chance anymore because of the overwhelming amount of input that we're getting, either snail mail or email or Facebook postings or things like that. I there's not enough hours in the day to do that. And it occurred to me one day, God got a hold of me because I was doing nothing all day but just checking emails. And God got a hold of me. And that's when I decided I let my daughters go through them. And when I say my girls, I'm not talking about three-year-olds that are going, emails. Okay, these are grown adult children. And I let them kind of go through them. Some of them are just orders. Some are this and that and the other. And that helps me. That helps me study, think, meditate. Believe it or not, part of my job here, before I turn the microphone on, part of my job is this. That's part of my job. So anyway, Jeff, Pastor Mike, as a defender of the KJV, I've been getting a lot of questions about the N, which means not KJV. Was wondering if you could address this. How different is it from the KJV other than the triquetra on the cover? You know what? I'm going to make a note to probably, maybe I'll do that one day. I will sit down and on this Pastor Mike Online live broadcast, I will show you the differences. The biggest differences right offhand that I can say to you is that it skews what hell is. And it hides it, because if you go to the corner bar, walk in there and ask five drunks to describe hell for you, they will probably tell you, yeah, it's on fire. I tell you, I don't want to go there. Or they might say, yeah, I think I'm going there. or they'll tell you to go there. But if you went in there and asked, you've just asked the common person at Walmart or at the mall, could you please describe for me your interpretation of Sheol? They're going to go, what? And that's one of the things that the non-King James Bible has done. It's that it's taken where the translators translated it hell. They maintained, they restored the true names of them, Sheol and Hades and Gehenna, and nobody knows what they are. So that's one of the things that it's done. Shelley likes the music. Good deal. Let's see here. David here. I've been watching your broadcasts and shows for a long time, and I've been a born-again Christian since 99. I love your ministry and love the Holy Spirit working through you. The way you speak is surely from our Heavenly Father, and it's so inspiring and truly brings strength into my soul. Just wanted to let you know I pray for you and your appreciate that. We know the struggles Satan brings, and I hope my prayers land some fighting blows to them. Thank you so much for your words, and I wish you so much blessings from our Father. David, and I appreciate that. And I'll tell you, I've done some videos that knowing that I was going to do them, that I was probably going to have to pay for it, and I did. But God's still on the throne, and as Noah Hutchings says, prayer changes things, and God has always sustained me. I am here only because of what God has done. Hi, Pastor Mike. Sass and Lisa here from California. Just wanted to tell ya, we heard and enjoyed you on True News yesterday. Yeah, I did a radio interview yesterday. And it was on True News. We look forward to the new Watchman broadcast. Prayers continue to be with you and your family. Blessings to you and yours. And I'm assuming you can probably hear the archive of that on TrueNews.com. Alejandro says, hi, Pastor Mike from Panama. I want to ask you about other verses that confirm Jesus is God. The ones in Isaiah 63, 1 through 6 and Revelation 19, 13 through 16, confirming that Jesus and God are one because only God treads the wine press of the wrath of God. I wanted to ask you about other verses that confirm. Okay. Other verses that confirm that Jesus is God. I'll quote some, and I always like to turn to at least a couple of them. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. That's what he said. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, here's what the Jehovah's Witness hate Jesus being God. So they changed it. All they did was they just added a little letter. That's all they did. And so they said, and the Word was a God. Okay? Works for them. And so just adding one letter to the Bible has altered the doctrine of the deity of Christ. In the sacred name cult, they have actually, in their replaced, restored divine name, King James Bible, here's what they did. They say the word God itself, just the word God, is pagan. And so you can't say God, okay? And you're probably thinking, OMG, I didn't know that. Well, you can't say that. That's pagan. So they take where the Greek says theos, which means God, they take that out. So they've taken out of the Word of God, and then they add back to it the word Elohim, which is not there. It's never been there. That's not what was said. But then they back this up, and they teach you that Elohim doesn't mean God, because God is pagan. Elohim means the strong and mighty one. So here's what they do. Now, most sacred name cult people, here's what I found out. They don't believe Jesus is God. They don't believe it. So here's how they render John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Yahweh, and the Word was Elohim. Now they have removed Christ, Jesus, from being God down to a level that they have defined Elohim as simply being the mighty and strong one. But he's not God. And when I found that out, I'm going, oh, I got it now. I know why now you do this to the Bible. You have an agenda. Your agenda is you don't believe Jesus is divine. You don't believe 1 John 5:7, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. They don't believe that Jesus is God. They call him the Son of God, which is the same thing the Jehovah's Witness do. They always say, well, he's the Son of God, but he's not God. Mormons the same way. They all deny the deity of Christ and reduce him down to simply the Son of God. And yet that verse says the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. By the way, they don't believe the Holy Ghost is a third part of the Godhead. They don't believe that. They think it's, oh, I like this one. They say it's the force emanating from God. Yeah, that force thing. I know what that is. But anyway, those are just simple things right there. That he is divine. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, is what he said. Now, here again, the other translations, they skew that. They mess that all up. Joanne, how you doing, Joel? Hi, Pastor Mike. Hang on a second. Not yet, but thanks for reminding me. Thank you for reminding me. Been busy, all right? Send me some emails, Joanne, and bug me on this because I want to do it. All right. Anyway, that's between us. All right. Anyway, you'll find out later. All right. Anyway, Thomas, Pastor, if I come down to your church sometime, please do not let my vehicle plate make you think I am of the sacred name mindset, because I am not. For years, I've had the plate one Yeshua, but it is done to make people wonder as to what it means and cause them to maybe look it up and find it means Jesus. Who knows where God may take it from there? The Bible gives many names for my Savior, and I love all his names. And yes, I know Yeshua is Hebrew for Jesus and not a name in my KJV. Amen. All right, Thomas, if you come down here, I promise I will not think that. All right, let's see here. Jazz. So, and she's making fun of me. Based on the UK pronunciation of your last name, Hogod, instead of Hoggy, we'd call you Hoagie. It's a sandwich. Ha, 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 ha. Andrea says, hi, Pastor. Have you heard that Barack Hussein is trying to repeal the 22nd Amendment so that he can serve a third term? I have not heard that. That's new to me. I have not heard that. If you can send me... some evidence, all right? And let me stipulate for everybody what I consider to be evidence, all right? There are a lot of blogs out there that don't tell anything that's true, but they love to incite riots. If there was something come across MSNBC, which I know that the mainstream media, they're going to lie, all right? But I'm looking for a verifiable news story. I'm looking for something from Reuters or to come across the wire or whatever, where President Obama said, "I promise you that I'm going to try to repeal the 22nd Amendment." I'm looking for something like that. I'm looking for some documentation. I'm looking for some evidence. Not some blogger's opinion that he thinks that Obama is going to try to repeal. Because I'll be honest with you, to repeal a standing constitutional amendment is not an easy thing to do. To legally repeal a standing amendment to the Constitution, it is not easy. That is why there have not been any major amendments made to the Constitution. It's not easy to do. It's hard to do. The last one that I can remember is the Equal Rights Amendment. And it went out to the states saying, all women, everybody's going to have equal rights. And I don't remember what the wording of it was, but it failed. It didn't get passed. And so it's an interesting concept, Andrea. I would be interested in seeing it, but I would look for verification, all right? Pat, how you doing out there in Kansas? Her and her husband, Ollie, they live not too far from Joplin, where all that tornado stuff happened. They saw what was going on. Pat, how you doing? It is reported on Drudge or Newsmax that the VA is utilizing veterans' information to allow Obama to confiscate our guns. Well, on that note, I just canceled my doctor appointments with VA, and when asked why, I told them I want nothing to do with the VA if they're going to be aiding the government in this conversation attempt. In other words, I'm taking a stand and told them, the VA, what I thought of them. I have not heard that one either. But there is, you know, Pat, I'm glad you brought that up. There is something that I did want to read. I did print out a bunch of stuff for today. Utah has decided that they're going to do reverse gun control. They're actually going to make sure that everybody in Utah is armed to the teeth, which I think is a good idea. Here we go. U.S. Marines' scathing response to Senator Frank Einstein's gun control proposal. Let me pull this out here. Dear Senator Feinstein, I will not register my weapon should this bill be passed, as I do not believe it is the government's right to know what I own. Nor do I think it prudent to tell you what I own so that it may be taken from me by a group of people who enjoy armed protection yet decry me having the same a crime. You, ma'am, have overstepped a line that is not your domain. I am a Marine Corps veteran of 8 years, and I will not have... Ooh, I like this. I am a Marine Corps veteran of 8 years, and I will not have some woman who proclaims the evil of an inanimate object yet carries one tell me I may not have one. I am not your subject. I am the man who keeps you free. I am not your servant. I am the person whom you serve. I am not your peasant. I am the flesh and blood of America. I am the man who fought for my country. I am the man who learned. I am an American. You will not tell me that I must register my semi-automatic AR-15 because of the actions of some evil man. I will not be disarmed to suit the fear that has been established by the media and your misinformation campaign against the American public. We, the people, deserve better than you. Respectfully submitted, Joshua Boston, Corporal, United States Marine Corps. I like it because he stuck his name to it. Absolutely. Stuck his name to it. Tony says, Pastor Mike, would you please clarify who you are calling Jews? The reason I ask you this is because I personally know a Jewish woman who has been saved, and she absolutely loves Jesus with all her heart. She is also a close follower of your teachings, and I know she is watching right now. Oh, and she calls Jesus Jesus and loves the King James Version. Tony, help me out here. I am calling the Jews the Jews. Now, if a Jew is saved, I've heard the name completed Jew. I like that. They are not all Israel who are of Israel. She is a true Israelite in that she has accepted Jesus, and she is made complete by the faith. She was given the Old Testament, or people were given the Old Testament. Now she believes the New Testament, and so on. And so I'm not referring to any person who is of a Jewish derivation who is truly born again. I am referring to the Israelite and the Jew of the Old Testament who still hold to the covenant of the Old Testament, even though they don't even do that anymore, because I found out that most practicing Jews are in the Kabbalah. That's the core of what they do. The Hasidic Jews, you know, the guy with the curls and the hats, they're Kabbalists. They follow the Kabbalah. So do, here we go, a lot of the Hebrew roots followers follow the Kabbalah. And so, Tony, please give my regards to your friend. And I love her, too, and I thank God for her. I spoke with, I won't say who it was, someone yesterday because this person I know to be a completed Jew. They were raised Jewish. They were born Jewish. She uses Jesus. She would call him Yeshua because that was the language that she was given. And I told her, I said, I'm not coming out against you. Don't think that. She said, I know, I got you, and so on. So please don't, to this Jewish lady, I'm not referring to you. You are a Jew. And I think I'd love you for that. You're God's people, the seed of Abraham. But as far as the Old Testament or the Hebrew mindset at or around the time of Christ or even before that, those people, they listen. Jesus said, go read what Jesus himself said to his people in Matthew 23. He said, you killed every prophet that God sent to you. You hated their guts. And then they killed Jesus. That's the mindset that I won't adopt, that I won't coddle to. Tracy, hi, Pastor Mike. My daughter started attending church with her husband as a Reformed Presbyterian church. Let me say that she was raised Southern Baptist. Her husband was transferred to Texas, so she's starting to go into church with him. Recently, they had their children, quote-unquote, baptized, sprinkled. And I said, why? This is not biblical. Her response was that it is entering into a family covenant with God. Again, I said, that's not biblical. She quoted the following verses for household baptism. The cases where household baptism is strongly implied is that of Cornelius, Acts chapter 10, verse 47 through, and you know, the Bible does say, you know, in his house. The three definite cases of household baptisms are those of Lydia, the Philippine jailer, and Stephanus. Help. How do I respond? Thanks so much. You respond with scripture. Okay. You always respond with scripture. The scripture will explain, scripture upholds scripture, will do everything in the world for scripture. Scripture is the scripture's best friend. Scripture doesn't need non-scripture help. So in Acts chapter 8, verse 37, here's the thing. If a baby is baptized, sprinkled, ask the parents, does this baby believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Does this baby believe that? And you see, it's the idea that if we baptize the baby, see, this is a dangerous idea. If we baptize the baby, they're going to be a Christian all their life because they're baptized that way. And I know people who lived their whole lives thinking, I was baptized Catholic. I was baptized Lutheran. I was baptized when I was a child. I'm a Christian. They lived their whole life that way. And they will die and go to hell because they're in their sins. They've not done anything by faith. Acts chapter 8, verse 37, which is incidentally missing out of all the other Bibles except the King James. Philip said, the eunuch asked in verse 36, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. The Bible is giving you a requirement for baptism. You must believe with all your heart. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he baptized him. Babies don't know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And they can't believe it. Therefore, they shouldn't be baptized. You baptize them all day long if you want to. We used to baptize each other when we were kids down at the lake, going swimming. Ah, let me baptize you. I got pretty good at it. Tim sends me a very, very, very long article. Doctors turn to party drug and search for new depression treatments. I've heard of that. They're using, what is it? What party drug is that? Vitamin K, Kit Kat, K? I don't know what that is. Ketamine. As a new antidepressant, it just makes you happy. Well, I'm sure it does. I appreciate that. Bill, Pastor Mike, I continue praying for spiritual wickedness to leave this country. Good for you. But on the other hand, I remind myself of the people who misguide other people that fall into this category. He who knows not doesn't know that he knows not is a lost fool. Thank you once again for sticking to your guns, maintaining a solid stance with the King James Bible. Bill, I don't like the country I live in. But I also would say, and it's like I told people when Obama won the second election, you know what? It's time that Christians start being Christians. It's time that we roll our sleeves up and go to work. And it's time that we stop expecting the government and our society to maintain the standards and the morality that it's supposed to be up to the church to do that, not the world. And so, appreciate that. Carla, regarding eating pork, who is Isaiah 65? Let me turn my can here of King James. Isaiah 65. Let's read the scripture before I read anything else. Isaiah 65, verse 3. A people that provoketh me to anger continually to my face, that sacrificeth in gardens and burneth incense upon altars of brick, which remain among the graves and lodge in the mountains, which eat swine's flesh and broth of abominable things is in their vessels. Let's see here. In verse 2, I've spread out my hands all day unto a rebellious people. He's talking to Israel. That's who he's talking to. Okay? So, let me finish reading your email. Regarding eating pork, who is Isaiah 65, 3 to 4 speaking of? Which eat swine's flesh and blah, blah. I don't hold to Jewish traditions either because I believe, as you do, that the New Testament does not teach us as such. But how could he be speaking of the Jews here? They do not eat swine. Thanks. You know, that's interesting. You know what? You say that they do not eat swine, but apparently, according to here, they did. I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good, after their own thoughts, a people that provoketh me to anger continually to my face. That's Israel. And so while we say that they don't eat pork, apparently they were doing it here. That's what I would say to that. All right? Anyway, Dan Bourne. And by the way, as far as eating pork, the New Testament is very clear. God didn't change the commandment. He cleaned the animal. That's what he did. God can do that. Dan Bourne says, Hi, Pastor Mike. There's also the mezuzah at every door in every house or business or court in Israel. And although it carries a message from Deuteronomy, I believe, doesn't it also strike more as a tradition over scripture as they kiss it on their entering in and on their exit out of the door? It not only is a message from Deuteronomy, but it's also what God said in Deuteronomy, chapter 4, chapter 6, and that's to post the scriptures on the doorposts and on the entryways and so on, to bind them as a sign upon thine hand and to be frontlets between the eyes and so on. And I would agree with you, Dan, that, practically everything the Jew does right now is by way of tradition only and by way of works, thinking that if I kiss this thing or if I do this, then I'm getting God on my side. And God clearly has a message for Israel, and that is, it's faith, buddy. Because you and I both know that we can perform rituals and functions all day long and not mean anything by them. It doesn't mean anything if it's not with faith. Zathnath Paania, who is contrary to me at times, says, true or false, Jesus is a transliteration and not a translation from the Hebrew to the Greek. Are not transliterated words hybrids of two languages to create an entirely different word? Now, you're assuming that I have to answer this question the way you posed it. True or false? I don't. All I have to do, Zafnath Paania, who, that's not your real name, and that's how you write me, and I don't know who you really are. You know my real name. Here's what it breaks down to, Zaf. It breaks down to, do you believe this or not? It's what it all boils down to. Do you believe this or not? This book, the words that are on these pages here, says this. While he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And thou shalt bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Your question, Zaph, is irrelevant to what this book says. And so the sacred name people love to ask non-biblical questions to trap people into believing that they're saying, hey, Zeus, and they're not. It's a lie. It's a fabrication. They say, because look, it looks like and sounds like Jesus. Well, Moses looks and sounds like mouse, but it's not the same. Did Zaph, did God ever say that he was going to speak in another tongue? And the answer is yes. Did he fulfill that? Boy, did he. He not only spake in one, he spake in at least 17 that we know of in the book of Acts chapter 2. And when Paul quoted Isaiah 28, he said, with men of other tongues and other languages will I speak to this people. And his name, because, and here, Zaph, here's what you, I don't know if you know this or not. There is no shh in the Greek alphabet. There's nothing for that. They never, the Greeks never said shh. They didn't have that in their tongue. So God allowed them by his grace and by his sovereignty and by his love for them and by his desire that they would know the truth of the gospel without having to turn into Jews and to do things that they didn't know how to do. God decided to do it on their level. So when the word Yahshua, which has a shin in it, goes into the Greek language, there is no way, it is impossible for the Greeks to even have a concept of the sh sound because they don't have it in their vocab. It's not in their alphabet. So this took the letter sigma and put it in there. And then, of course, because Greek has gender words in it, masculine, feminine, neutral. And they knew that Jesus wasn't a chick, and they knew that Yeshua wasn't an it. They had to put the sigma on the end of it to show that it was a guy's name. That's masculine. Jesus. And God then signified that to show that I'm going to speak in other languages here. Because Pilate nailed up on the cross exactly what his name was in Hebrew, Yahshua. And then he had him write it in Greek, Jesus. And then he had it write it in Latin, Jesu. And it's still the name of Jesus. And so your question, true or false? Is it a transliteration or a translation? The question, my friend Zaph, is irrelevant. It has no meaning whatsoever. And it denies the scripture. And that's what sacred namers do. They deny the written, preserved word of God. And they try to get you to remove it out of your life so that they can replace it with something else. Listen, I already gave up junk from another life to have it replaced with the King James Bible. I'm not changing it for anything else. Not for anybody. I don't know if that answered your question or not, but I did my best. Pastor Mike, I emailed you like you said. I hoped you would have at least acknowledged by now something, anything. I poured my heart out to you. Are you going to ignore me or need more time? Paul. I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. Let's see here. Tony says, Pastor Mike, I read that C.S. Lewis was a member of the Golden Dawn cult. I don't have any knowledge of that. I do not have evidence of that, so I can't pass that on. I don't know. Okay. Anyway, let's see here. Watcher Doyle. He says, Hendricks and Bibles have corrupted Hebrews 10:23. The corruptible seed says profession of our hope instead of faith. Very deceptive. Yes, and there are Bibles. Zondervan does that with the Bible. In Hebrews 10, write this down. Hebrews 10:23, does your Bible say hope instead of faith? It should say faith. If it says hope, they've changed the Bible. Appreciate you bringing that up. Craig, I love your sense of humor, Pastor Mike. Hilarious. Don't ever lose it. Sometimes I have to pick my jaw up off the floor because of your biblical commentary. And sometimes I have to pick my body up off the floor because of your humor. Now he said, you're funny. Now I don't know if that means like he's really enjoying the humor or he's going, oh, you're funny. You really crack me up. I think he's being nice. All right. Patricia, do you know what I like about you, Pastor Mike? You're real. Apparently not. According to a website that's out there that somebody drew my attention to, Mike Hoggard is a very clever hologram. I'm not making this up. There is a website out there where a guy, he's watching, you know, sometimes I'll shake my hands or whatever. And if you want to see how we do it, go to Pastor Mike Hoggard, go to my blog, and I've got pictures up there on how we do the Watchman broadcast. It's a green screen. Well, sometimes the settings, you know, are this kind of hard to get the color matching and the software, and most of the time it looks good. But when I do this, okay, there's a haze here. It's like a green haze. And the guy's looking at that, and he's going, I'm convinced that Pastor Mike Hoggard is a very cleverly devised hologram by the Illuminati. Illuminati hologram is what he is. And I cracked up at that because the guy that I baptized here said, I guess my baptism was a holo baptism then. And so anyway, thank you for saying that. Mother of Two says, thanks, you saved me the experience of ayahuasca. I don't know what that is. I did not believe the Bible simply because it contradicts itself. I wanted to know the secrets the Egyptians knew and the Sumerians. I thought there was wisdom there, but when researching, I stumbled upon your two YouTube videos about giants, paranormal topics, and where the NIV comes from. Now I understand. No telling what I might have experienced where it would have led me. I realized after listening to you, these are familiar spirits. Thank you for your videos. They help many lost souls. I appreciate that. Mother of Two, your email address, Hillbilly Harris. I like that. That's pretty good. Let's see here. Sherry says, I just finished your book, The King James Code. I was so blessed by it when sharing it. I was accused of numerology, mystic practices. I personally don't understand what they're accusing me of. Just wanted an answer or comeback to give if this comes up again. God bless you, yours. You know, the best thing to do, Sherry, when people accuse you of stuff, quote scripture. Quote, why do you believe what you believe? Quote scripture. So you quote Ezekiel 7. This have I found, saith the preacher, counting one by one to give the account. Revelation 13:18. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number, for it is the number of a man, and his number 666. Just quote scripture to these people. I mean, they're going to accuse you of all kinds of stuff. They're going to accuse me of, they already have, of all kinds of stuff. You're accusing me of being a hologram for crying out loud. One lady who came to our homecoming said, I mean, we just love your church, goes back after that, puts up a website on me, watches, I don't know how many hours of video that I've done, waits for me to point my finger up like this, and then contrast that with Da Vinci's John the Baptist painting and say, see, he's in the Illuminati. Anyway, just give them scripture, all right? Karen, Representative Jose Serrano introduced a bill Friday which would abolish term limits on the U.S. presidency. HJ Resolution 1560 repeal the 22nd Amendment, and if passed, would allow President Obama to become the first president since Franklin Roosevelt. Thank you for the documentation. I get it now. Okay, I get it. Now, here's the thing. Congressmen love to make the news by introducing bills. That's what they do. This is how they get in the news. They introduce a bill. Their press office runs out and tells the New York Times what they did. New York Times runs a story. Introducing a bill to Congress is about 15 billion light years away from getting an amendment to the Constitution nullified. It really is. The bill has to go through committees. Committees then have to recommend it to the floor. Floor has to vote on it. Then it goes to the Senate committees. Senate committees might want to revise it. Then it goes back to the House, then back to the Senate. And then the president has to sign it. And then now all of a sudden, in order to do this thing, you have to get the American people, the states, to ratify this. It ain't going to happen that way. So, and I appreciate the article. I really did. That is, that's good stuff, Karen. I appreciate it. That's what I like to see. Okay. And when I see this, and I know why he's doing it. Jose Serrano is only wanting to keep his guy in. That's what he's wanting to do. And don't these people know it'll backfire? I mean, you know, we get some good conservative guy in the White House, and he might be in there 20 years, and they'll be going, oh, we need to repeal this. We need to have term limits. Anyway, so Karen, you did a good job. Appreciate it. Shelley says, I'm a vet, and that was true about the weapons. It's one of the first things they ask you for. Now, I tell you what, I appreciate that, Shelley. Let's see here. Jenny, not sure if you knew this, but Madonna is a practitioner of Kabbalah. I did know that. You were referencing her owl picture on Tuesday. It reminded me that she probably knows exactly what she was representing in that performance. Madonna cares about several things in her life. Number one, she cares about Madonna. She cares about money. She cares about using her body. And the Kabbalah thing just might help her out with all that. All right. So, yeah, I get you. Jonathan says, there is the sacred name movement on YouTube called the Almighty Wind and a woman prophet named Elizabeth, which spews filth and lies. All right. Well, everybody check into that. All right. DP says, here's the link for Obama for Life, January 6, 2013, Washington Democrat, U.S. Congressman from New York. All right, that's the article. And White House resolution would allow President Obama for life. Yeah, no. Well, that's an interesting term, Obama for life. That's an interesting term. Anyway, Pastor Mike, there's more people. Thanks, John, I appreciate that. Let's see here. Trisha, how you doing? Trisha, been praying for you. Hi, Pastor Mike. We have contact through our church with this group that call themselves Jews for Jesus. I am familiar with this group. They go around the country to churches and hand out tracts. They speak to the Jews in Israel. I've met them many times, and they're pretty good. They call themselves Messianic Jews. This is what they call Jews who believe in Jesus Christ. Now, there are organizations like Jews for Jesus. From what I understand, I may be wrong, from what I understand, Jews for Jesus does not endorse the sacred name or the Hebrew roots idea. They don't do it. I actually heard a talk from a guy who was with Jews for Jesus, and he basically said, we believe in Jesus the Messiah, we believe he's the Savior, we believe in the New Covenant, but we are practicing Jews. This is what we do, this is how we live our life. And I don't have a problem with that, I appreciate it. Trisha, if you ever need anything, give me a call, all right? Stig says, Jesus is God, says right here, 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. He was manifest, he appeared in the body. That's what the NIV says, he appeared in a body. No, in the King James, God was manifest in the flesh. Boy, sacred name people and the Hebrew roots people do not like those verses. They hate them. So they, here's what they've done. Their stipulation is that the New Testament was originally written in Hebrew, and we've lost it. All the copies now are gone. Isn't that interesting? That's like saying a UFO landed in my backyard, sucked all the water out of my lagoon, and took off. And I've got pictures. Where are these pictures? I don't know. I lost them. I have to cough. Hang on. All right, back to the emails. Pastor Mike, this is from Dave. I was studying 1 John 4:3, and every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. This is the spirit of Antichrist. Every translation except the KJV leaves this passage out. And I agree with you. And here is here's what I was getting at with the Hebrew thing. They said that the whole New Testament was originally written in Hebrew. And these evil Greeks came in and ruined it by putting all these Gentile ideas and philosophies into it. They ruined it. So what they're doing now, since they don't have any copies of this original, quote-unquote, Hebrew New Testament, they're now restoring the New Testament to Hebrew and Aramaic. So you know what they're going to do. They're going to take every passage that they can find in the New Testament that gives any allusion to the fact that we're saved by grace through faith and not by the works of the law, and the fact that Jesus is God Almighty, and they're going to reduce that down so that now every Jew in the world, every Hebrew person in the world who would read the New Testament in Hebrew now is not going to get the truth of the gospel. That's what's going to happen. You're damning Israel by doing that. That's what they're doing. Damien, hi, Pastor Mike. When I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, I listened to Bill Schnebelin teachings over the time, saw him change from the Lord Jesus Christ to having his head uncovered and having his head uncovered to now saying Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ, covering his head, believing in the gap theory, which I do not, the Bible does not teach that. This Bill Schnebelin, I disagree with. Most everything else that I've heard on Bill's teaching is sound doctrine, although I have not heard anything as of late, and the website is nothing unscriptural on it. So let the English stick to the English, let the Greeks to the Greeks, and the Jew to the Jew. God bless. And I agree with you, Damien. I appreciate that. Carla, but I have 1,000 questions. I was pointed out, it was pointed out to me last night that Jesus is in all caps when it is told what his name shall be. Is that significant? Also, is Yahweh part of the sacred name cult? Well, the all caps thing, I think, is significant. It's just like Mystery Babylon the Great, the Mother of Harlots, Abomination. That's in all caps. I think it is. I think the Bible's just trying to tell you, boom, this is what it is. Yahweh, here's the thing, Yahweh. The only authority that I have and recognize in my life is not a Hebrew language that I cannot read and understand. It doesn't have any vowel signs in it. The only thing that I have is my Bible that tells me his name is actually pronounced Jehovah. That's all I've got. And I either believe that God inspired the Bible or he didn't, one way or the other. And if I say I believe every word of the Bible except Jehovah, I don't believe that. I think they got that wrong. Then what am I saying? And so I don't believe it's Yahweh. I believe it's Jehovah. All right? And Brian says, Pastor Michael, no, you're not a hologram because I've seen you eat Chinese food on the air. Anyway, Paul, I did get your email, and I think I have responded to you, and so I appreciate it. And so now Jazz says, my new nickname is Holo Hoggy. All right. Anyway, God bless you. I am out of here. Y'all have a good weekend. Pray for our ministry. Pray that God will continue to use us to be a blessing to you and to be a disturber to the devil. All right? That's what we want. I still don't have my caricature with me making Masonic hand gestures. I have to find that. Anyway, God bless you. I love you. See ya.